This episode of Intelligent Medicine is brought to you by a new natural product from Future Farm Botanicals, created exclusively to help promote a better immune response: elderberry with zinc and echinacea. Future Farms Elderberry with Zinc and Echinacea is the first to combine these three powerful ingredients together. Elderberry is packed with antioxidants, vitamins, and may boost your immune system. Echinacea has been shown to activate chemicals in the body that decrease inflammation, and zinc activates T lymphocytes. Low zinc has been associated with increased susceptibility. For more information and to order, call 888-841-7216. That's 888-841-7216, or go to myfuturefarm.com/Hoffman. That's future, P-H-A-R-M. MyFutureFarm.com/Hoffman. Elderberry with zinc and echinacea is an all-natural, science-based formula and works without adverse side effects. Take advantage of Future Farm's buy two, get one free offer at MyFutureFarm.com/Hoffman. Welcome back to today's Intelligent Medicine Podcast. I'm your host, Dr. Ronald Hoffman. It's our weekly Q&A with Layla, wherein we answer your questions. And radio program at AOL.com is the destination for questions. With me today is Layla Mutin. She's our resident nutritionist, and we work together addressing patient problems in our practice. You know, just before we get to questions, Layla, you know, I just want to say that, you know, these days, gratitude is a theme, you know, amidst all our limitations and restrictions and the calamities that are occurring. It's nice to express gratitude. And what I want to express gratitude for is for the wonderful listenership to this podcast, and as evinced by the wonderful participation of our audience with really very, very interesting and profound questions of a general interest. And throughout this, as you know, we've been isolated from one another, it's really gratifying to know that people are out there getting help, direction, and perhaps to some extent entertainment and solace from listening to the podcast that we're putting out. So let's hear it for Vitamin G, gratitude.
Yes.
I'd certainly
to all of you listeners
want to express that.
Yeah. Oh, thank you, everybody. All right. We've got an email here from Fran. I remember seeing an article, but I can't find it, regarding taking a fruit and veggie pill to replace the actual food. Is it all that it claims to be? Well, Dr. H, you may want to revive that article.
Right. Yeah. That's actually an article that I wrote, and I think we've reprised it once or twice. And it has to do with, you know, something that's heavily marketed these days, which is, you know, fruit and veggie pills. And it's backed up by a very, very aggressive radio campaign that since has, I don't know if you've seen this, but since it's now an example of how committed they are to a financial investment in promoting this, is that these advertisements are now appearing on TV. You know, they're graduating from radio, which is expensive, to TV, which is ultra expensive, with testimonials. Testimonials that, in my opinion, are outlandish. You know, for people with various medical conditions that are god-awful medical conditions. And ever since they've been taking whatever this fruit and veggie concoction is.
Cured my MS.
Yeah.
Right.
I mean, I was in a coma. I was near death, you know, and then I discovered the fruit and veggie pills. And, you know, people with multiple sclerosis where they had brain lesions and the brain lesions are disappearing. And then the doctors say, what are you doing? It's like, this is remarkable. This is the greatest sort of thing since, you know, or penicillin
stroke.
And, you know,
it's a bit much.
It's very much. And so, can you effectively substitute eating fruits and vegetables by taking pills? Well, this is sort of mankind's dream. Is that, you know, you won't have to eat anymore. You could just take pills. I remember, you know, when I was a little kid and, you know, my mom would say, you know, eat your asparagus, eat your broccoli. I would say, well, can I take a pill? you know, and I was a finicky eater. Since I've turned that around 180 degrees. But, you know, it's sort of like, you know, is Tang a substitute for, you know, fresh squeezed orange juice?
Oh my goodness, I grew up with Tang.
Yeah, it's like astronaut food. It actually, it was pioneered, you know, with the first NASA flights. You know, it's what they gave the astronauts. And so, you know, the problem is that a lot of the properties of fresh fruits and vegetables cannot be condensed into pills. You lose a lot of the constituents by drying and compressing. Mm-hmm. And
you lose the matrix of the food and everything that, you know, the phytochemicals, the phytonutrients, maybe some of that is extracted, the fiber, all of that. Even the water content is important. So,
yeah. I mean, there's something to be said for the live fresh fruits and vegetables. This is sometimes pitched to people who don't eat well, which even worries me more because they gain the false confidence. They take, four or six,
I don't have to eat my vegetables anymore. I'll just take these pills. No.
And, you know, there may be a slight advantage because I'm sure that some of the nutrients are preserved. But here's the other thing about it is that unlike, supplements, which have very, very carefully specified ingredients. And so, for example, vitamin D, you know, you can assay it. You know, this pill is 1,000 IUs and that pill is 2,000 and the other pill is 5,000. Or if you you look at curcumin, for example, and you can standardize to the curcuminoid content and you can see, is this just like a ground up, you know, turmeric powder or is this a very highly purified extract of curcumin with a signature of curcuminoid activity. And by the way, if you can hear in the background, you hear the sirens going on. This is Midtown Manhattan at, you know, 4:45. They're gearing up for a night of antics here in Midtown. But, you know, I like the fresh air, so I didn't close the window. Normally, I close the window, but, you know, I hope it's not too distracting. You know, the other thing, so ingredients, quality ingredients are expensive. And, you know, there's this thing called margin, you know, how much you pay for the ingredient and how much then you can sell it, you know, at a profit, but without at a price that's exorbitant. You know, if you sell a bottle of, you know, turmeric and it costs, you know, $200 a bottle, it's like nobody's going to buy it. So you have to, you know, there's a price point. With fruits and veggies, you could put like a few pennies worth of ingredients into the fruits and veggies, and you can sell them for, you know, whatever, $29.95, $39.95. I don't know what they get for like a month's supply of that. And, you know, then they put, and I think they especially victimize people who are not sophisticated about vitamins and supplements, and they make a claim that is really pejorative to vitamin and supplement takers. They say, you don't have to take all this like vitamins and supplements, just take the fruits and veggies. They've got everything you need. And that's not targeted nutrition by any means. It's not
not at all.
You know? So,
and the false promise of curing your terrible autoimmune disease or getting you back walking from your stroke.
And
come on.
And I personally think that I'm not going to say it, is those testimonials are phony testimonials. They're not real. I mean, look,
they're not real.
In terms of the level of scientific evidence, you know, there's a hierarchy of scientific evidence and the highest, is the so-called double-blind placebo-controlled study. Well, they never done that on those things. Or even a case-control study, which is open and people know what they're getting, but, you know, at least it's, you know, or an observational study. It's like, let's look at people who've taken that and let's see if they're better off than people who didn't take that. They didn't do that. But at the lowest level of scientific evidence is what's called anecdotal evidence, which is my Aunt Sally takes, you know, apple cider vinegar every night and she's 102. That's, you know, anecdotal evidence. Like, okay, great. You know, I'm glad to hear it. And, you know, there may be something to it. That's a hypothesis. We can investigate that. We can do, you know, studies and find out if there's, you know, something to that. But it's the lowest level of evidence. And then, you know, I have to even question the veracity of you know, some of them are just outrageous testimonials. Cleverly done. There is genius to the way that these are made. It is, it is an incredible advertising phenomenon.
Yeah.
I would really never venture to be so bold as to make claims about the supplements that I have people use. I mean, I could get, you know, patients on and to have them sing the praises of my supplements that I put them on. I'd be embarrassed, frankly, to do it that way. But it's a lowbrow appeal, and it's obviously working because now they've got a war chest big enough to do TV ads. My suggestion is don't waste your money on that. You know, and the other thing is, I don't even know if they're subject to standards where they check for contamination, purity, potency. What's backing that up?
Exactly. I mean, great points.
You can any of the supplements that we talk about here in this program, and certainly supplements on FullScript. And I just did an interview with them. You can actually go to the manufacturer and you can say, I want to see the spec sheets on that.
Yes.
And they keep records. It's like, okay, wait. Oh, you bought your supplement. Oh, you bought your supplement April 20th. Let's see. Can read the batch number. Oh, yeah. There's a batch number on the supplement. Okay. Let's look at that. Okay. Yeah. We assayed that. And, that was vitamin D, right? Oh, okay. Well, we assayed that. It was fine. Oh, were there any contaminants? No, we didn't find any. We tested for lead, mercury, cadmium. We tested for PCBs. You know, they were all fine. Here's the spec sheets. We'll mail them to you. You can get that. Can you get that from Balance of Nature? Can you get it from, you know, like, I mean, right. I don't know. I'm pretty sure that's, you know, they don't even tell you what's in there. It's a mixture. It's a proprietary mixture.
Exactly.
Well, what percentage tomatoes? What percentage broccoli? What percent?
Exactly.
I mean, there are benefits to these things, but, you know, so for example, when I use like a cruciferous vegetable extract, it's standardized. It's standardized for sulforaphane. It's standardized for I3C, you know, indole-3 carbonyl.
Right. Rocamax.
Yeah, those things you can actually get a readout on that. What it's in, or if I want somebody to get essence of tomato, they'll get lycopene. Okay, and it'll be like 50 milligrams. Okay, there's 50 milligrams of lycopene in that.
Right.
You know, so it's for the dumb, in my opinion.
Yeah. Unfortunately, they get over on the sheeple who will buy into that. Right. It's unfortunate.
So now do you want me to share with you what I really think about it? No. I was holding back.
No, but you know, I do think it's time for another break.
Oh, thank you. Yeah. Thank you for reminding me. All right. Good point at which to pause and allow one of our reputable sponsors an opportunity to share a vital message with you. Here goes. There's never been a more important time to ensure your immune system is operating at its peak. This is Dr. Ronald Hoffman with a new natural solution from Future Farm Botanicals, created exclusively to help promote a better immune response. Elderberry with zinc and echinacea. Future Farm's elderberry with zinc and echinacea is the first to combine these three powerful ingredients together. Elderberry is packed with antioxidants, vitamins, and may boost your immune system. Echinacea has been shown to activate chemicals in the body that decrease inflammation, and zinc activates T lymphocytes. Low zinc has been associated with increased susceptibility. For more information and to order, call 888-841-7216. That's 888-841-7216, or go to myfuturefarm.com/Hoffman. That's future, PHARM, myfuturefarm.com/Hoffman. Elderberry with zinc and echinacea is all natural, science-based, and works without adverse side effects. Take advantage of Future Farm's buy two, get one free offer at myfuturefarm.com/Hoffman. Thanks for listening, and thanks for supporting our partners in providing you with free information here on Intelligent Medicine. And now back to our questions.
Okay, here's a good one from Roger. I drink a health shake every day, and one of the ingredients I put in is raw cacao. I was shocked to see a California Proposition 65 warning on the label of my recently purchased supply of raw cacao powder. When I contacted the manufacturer, they claimed that the warning was required because of naturally occurring cadmium in the product. Mm-hmm. Well, I decided to discontinue using the product. I didn't feel comfortable ingesting something that has a warning that says it might cause cancer. Are my concerns valid? What do you think of this?
This is really an interesting question. And, you know, as you know, Layla, there are two standards in this country for supplement quality and purity. There's a federal standard, mm-hmm. and there's a California standard. And the California standard is set in a burdensomely high way by virtue of something called Prop 65. Now, Prop 65 is well-intentioned. It's designed, you know, because California is like a progressive state. It's well ahead of the rest of the country, and they wanted to do good. They wanted to protect the populace of California in a way above and beyond what the FDA specifies in terms of standards. And even the supplement industry has their own standards that they self-impose. So California's set up a standard whereby even the faintest infinitesimal trace of anything can trigger a Prop 65 warning, which does a couple of things. One, it discourages consumers from using those products in California, which they don't care about because basically they say supplements are, you know, kind of garbage anyway. So they're not unhappy about that. It also is very interesting because it's very much interconnected with a subset of the legal industry in California who are Prop 65 attorneys. And Prop 65 attorneys are kind of like cruising sharks looking for opportunities to shake down companies. And when there is a Prop 65 violation, which can easily be triggered, you know, inadvertently, with, you know, say a little higher level of this, or they actually did it with coffee. They did it with coffee. And, you know, you recently wrote an article about acrylamide.
Yes.
Coffee is carcinogenic in California. And there's a Prop 65 warning on all coffee because it has acrylamide, because it's roasted. You know, when you roast something, it's got acrylamide. So it's going to have a cancer warning on it. It's got to have a declaration, you know, protect the citizens of California. That's good government, they say. Okay. So then it's interesting that the, attorneys can, in league with government attorneys, California state government attorneys, pursue a case against a company. And that's very expensive. So most of the companies just settle. They fine them. They say, here, you know, pay $50,000. You're off the hook. If it's a class action, if it's a class action, it could be much more. It could be on behalf of many plaintiffs, as many plaintiffs as they can find. And then the attorneys collect a fee, and they may distribute some small settlement. You know, you'll get a check for 35 cents in the mail because you bought a supplement that, you know, is considered. So let's come back to cocoa. Cocoa, like many plants, you know, there's certain plants that kind of clean the soil. They actually pull things out of the soil.
Sunflowers pull up arsenic, oranges, apples.
Rice pulls up arsenic.
Every food should have a Prop 65 warning then.
Yeah. Arsenic definitely bioaccumulates in rice. We know that. And brown rice to a greater extent than white rice. You think it's healthier, but you know, you're going to get some arsenic. Is it consequential for you? You know, maybe if you have rice. But it's not about the, you know, polluted soil. It's about the natural organic arsenic that's in the soil. Now, I'm not saying that's great, and I'm not saying that cadmium is great,
it's also nature's argument for variety in the diet. If we keep eating the same food over and over, it's the same toxic exposure over and over.
I consume a ton of chocolate, and it's been a while since I've checked for heavy metals. I wonder if I've accumulated some cadmium as a result. I don't generally see cadmium as a contaminant when I check patients, but you know, there might be a natural source of cadmium. But there's so many health benefits of cacao or cocoa, the cacao plant, that that may override the Prop 65 consideration about the cadmium exposure, which is trivial and slight and does not exceed federal standards for sure. You know, it's not that they grow the cacao deliberately in some sort of, you know, car parts junkyard, you know, that has, you know, car batteries leaking into the soil. It's in the soil, and it bioaccumulates in certain foods.
Yeah. Yeah. So, all right. Well, Roger, let's see. Thank you for that very thoughtful question. You can have your
points up an important issue. Yeah. We have time for a quick question, Kim.
Oh, quick question. Okay. Dr. Hoffman, what are your thoughts on ammonium chloride for blocking the SARS-CoV virus?
Mm-hmm. I hadn't heard that it blocks the SARS-CoV virus, but, you know, I presume that he has some kind of source on that.
He says out of Virology Journal in 2005. I guess that was after the first SARS outbreak.
Right. They were looking for anything for that, the SARS-CoV-1, which was the original SARS pandemic that they thought was going to be very devastating, but it sort of petered out. Mm-hmm. It actually was much, much more fatal than, you know, it's fatal to the extent of like 10 plus percent. And they thought it was going to be huge. It was a big thing in Toronto. It was a big thing in Hong Kong. And, yeah, that may be one of the reasons why the Hong Kongers or the Asians were so well prepared for this, because they knew the drill. They locked down many times before.
Yeah.
Look, we can say this, is that, you know, you can put Clorox on the virus. You can put, you know, all kinds of things on the virus. That
just don't drink it.
Exactly. That's how Trump got in trouble. You know, he said, oh, you know, that's really interesting. You know, like, maybe we could figure out a way to disinfect the body. And it was like, then they ridiculed him. You know, they said like, oh, you know, Trump says he should drink Clorox. I don't think he was just sort of like in his offhanded sort of.
Exactly.
Like, he was like speculating.
Take it light.
He was speculating. And, not necessarily to rise to his defense, because, you know, look, I'm not going to convince anybody, like him or hate him. But, you know, actually, he was talking about ultraviolet light, and I recently shared with our listeners an article where they are experimentally using ultraviolet light to decontaminate blood from COVID-19, which might have applicability, because they're now taking blood from people who've already had it to create an immune convalescent plasma that can be safely administered to people who are sick. And it was on 60 Minutes. That was interesting. But they use UV light to decontaminate the blood, plus riboflavin. Riboflavin seems to do something helpful.
Ah, vitamin B2. Mm-hmm.
So coming back to the ammonium chloride is one of the most basic things, and I'm talking about acid base.
Right, pH scale.
Very, it's very basic, and it's thought that things that are strongly alkaline have an antiviral effect. Now, the problem is they also have a toxic effect. You know, drinking ammonium chloride or taking in a pill, that sounds like a very practical way of treating. I mean, look, they've got to look at all possibilities here. I mean, maybe they could do a screen of this and many other compounds against the virus, and then, you know, experimentally administer this to people who are sick. I'm not saying it doesn't have a place in this, but God forbid, you know, people taking this at home.
Well, you're better off.
You know?
You're actually better off cleaning your linoleum kitchen floor in ammonia.
right.
If you wish.
Right.
You know, if you're out of vinegar and baking soda or some other concoction like that.
Yeah, it's a disinfectant. The fact that a disinfectant kills the virus in a test tube, that's not a big whoop. There's a lot of things to do that. The question is it a practical strategy to administer to people? And I'm not saying it's not, but it has to be subject to very rigorous clinical trials. I mean, you see the difficulty with this, like hydroxychloroquine, like, oh, it works great. It's like, no, it doesn't work at all. It's not that clear cut. You know, when we study these things. So, we're going to have a lot of controversies before we're done with this virus in terms of therapy. But, you know, we're going to get better and better. And eventually we'll come up with plausible cocktails that will keep people from dying, hopefully.
Yes.
And, that's what's on the horizon. So, you know, I'm fairly confident that we'll move in the right direction. I want to close with this. I was going to do this at the top of the broadcast. An interesting study, which I shared on Facebook, And, you know, the question is, how do you know you have COVID-19? Well, some people are asymptomatic. And yeah. some people are, you know, sick unto death. So it varies. But, you know, what they do now is they have a lot of fever screening, you know, where they actually have these things that, you know, they can point at your forehead. I mean, that happened to me at the airport when I was coming back from Tortola in March. They pointed yeah. this thing at my forehead and it was like, oh, you know, you don't have a fever. You're okay. Well, it turns out, according to this study, that temperature is not a very good discriminator. You know, in this study of people who presented as, do I have coronavirus? 34% of them had a fever. That's a sizable percentage, but also 24% of them, you know, didn't have a fever. So, right. I mean, if you're sick and you have a fever, it's not necessarily coronavirus. So that's not very good. And by the way, you know, it was only a third of the people who had it had a fever. And then, okay, what about a cough? Well, that was pretty good. 56% had a cough.
Mm-hmm.
But 45%.
But you could have a cough from pollen.
Yeah.
You could have a cough from your blood pressure medication.
Right. I saw there was a lot of, you know, pollen on my car, and I was going, oh, my throat's a little scratchy, and I was, like, starting to cough. And it's like, no, it was spring allergy. So 56% had a cough, and 45% tested negative, you know, with a cough. So, but what was a discriminator is loss of smell and taste.
That's interesting.
64% tested positive, 65% had loss of smell and taste. That's a very characteristic and distinctive symptom of SARS-CoV-2. And of the people tested negative, there were some people who had loss of taste and smell, 22%. But that was the big difference. The rest, it's like not a big difference.
Well,
even shortness of breath, very few people had shortness of breath.
Mm-hmm.
And it didn't, they, you know, didn't there are a lot of people
did everybody
who,
have abnormal white cell counts or anything too? I think
this,
that's
this
another
is just symptoms.
Place.
This is just symptoms. Because this is before you
symptoms.
Even get any tests. This is before like before an X-ray, before a blood test. Like, I mean, if you wake up and you have some of these symptoms, well, first of all, you don't necessarily have coronavirus. You might have.
Right.
You know, so you can get tested.
Well, hold on. Loss of taste and smell can also be due to a zinc deficiency.
It can be due to a zinc. It can be due to medication.
Yes.
It can be, it is also, unfortunately, thought to be a harbinger of dementia for some people.
Yeah.
You know, and many ERA patients complain of that, especially after they've had some sort of viral infection. It knocks out their taste and smell. Use of certain medications.
You've got a cold
like,
and you're congested. You can't smell anything. You're not going to taste your food very well.
Or if you use a steroid nasal spray, you can, you know, anyway.
Yeah.
So I'm just going to, I'm just throwing it out is that, you know, the what I wrote was, think you might have COVID-19? Turns out, according to the study, that fever, shortness of breath, even cough were not good predictors of who really has it. What was loss of taste and smell ranked high as a discriminator? And I wrote that several persons I know who've had it described this distinctive symptom. That's all they had. Mm. They didn't even say, you know, they didn't say they felt that sick, except they said, you know, I just lost my taste and smell.
Yeah.
And they had a very mild course, but that was the distinctive symptom. So anyway, throw that out there. Let's hope dies down.
Yeah.
You know, we'll be talking about this for a while to come, but sooner or later, it'll be supplanted by other more prosaic and routine health concerns. Thank you very much for joining us. Thank you, Layla.
Thank you, Dr. Hoffman. And thank you, everybody. Keep those questions coming to radioprogram@AOL.com.
And stay safe, folks. I'm Dr. Ronald Hoffman, and this is the Intelligent Medicine Podcast.
This is Layla Mudin, RD. I see patients regularly, along with Dr. Hoffman. If you require a nutrition consult with me but live out of town, there's no need to travel to New York City. I have telephone consultations with clients from all over the country. Please visit drhoffman.com for more information. And to set up an appointment, call 212-779-1744. That's 212-779-1744. I look forward to being a collaborator in your healthcare.